Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to check it out when you get a chance. It's a little bit of small business heaven, and that'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. You can also subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every Sunday on in the afternoon by email, or you can check out our blog as well, which is on the homepage or at jimsblog.biz. And all this stuff is available to you. It's all free, just to help you to, as I said, to have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And you can thank our fine sponsors also for making this available. Dr. Patricia Green is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Patty Green is a friend of ours and for a long time and a member of our Brain Trust. She's the dean of the undergraduate school at Babson College and an entrepreneur's best friend. Patty, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. Are you guys ready to get cranked up again for a new semester?
We're into it. The classes started last Wednesday, so this is our first Tuesday morning.
I got you. Well, I'll tell you, I want to thank you for introducing us to a couple of gentlemen that we had on the show last week. We had a couple of young men on the show last week. I'll think of their names in a minute, who were the some of your graduates.
Oh, good.
And I just don't have their names in front of me, but we had a couple of your graduates that are doing a great job, and I was so excited to hear their story and to know that they came they were products of Babson, and I congratulate you on that.
Well, thank you. We're pretty proud of them.
Yeah. Patty, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is the Diana Project, mm-hmm. and also, you want to talk a little bit about the book that's coming up?
I'd love to.
All right. Tell the audience what the Diana Project is.
The Diana Project is a group of researchers that got interested a couple years ago on how women start and grow businesses, with an emphasis on the grow. At the time, we were at five different schools, but thanks to technology, we're able to work together and have done several books, a lot of presentations, talking to both researchers and academics about how to really grow a business.
Well, now, and of course, you've introduced us to some of the ladies who are co-authors, but there's the new book that's coming out. When is that going to be out?
March.
In March. Okay, so mm-hmm. It's not. I was thinking it was a little bit sooner than that.
It got pushed just a little bit.
Just a little bit, huh?
Yeah, you know those entrepreneurial endeavors. They take just a little bit more time than you thought.
Always. So what you're saying is Mr. Murphy is alive in your world as well, huh?
Oh, I'm afraid so.
Okay. What are we learning about women in the marketplace?
Okay. What's interesting about this one, Jim, is that it's a global book. We've got about 13 different countries involved, looking, again, only at issues of how women grow businesses and finding that a lot of the problems that are challenges that we have are pretty universal, especially around issues of raising money.
Universal for the marketplace or universal for women? Is it different for women than it is for men?
And that's always the good question. That's what we called our last book, Clearing the Hurdles. Everybody goes over these hurdles. It's difficult for everybody. But in some of these things, some of these resources, it seems to be a little bit more difficult for women.
When it comes to finding and hiring the right people, that's universal, regardless of gender. When it comes to getting customers and keeping customers and basically just managing the business, that's pretty similar for both genders, I think. But when we get to things like raising capital, it's a different story, isn't it?
Well, but I think you're exactly right, and that's what we mean by the hurdles, is there's steps you have to do to start and grow a business, and everybody has to do them, but people approach them different, you know, in different ways, and that's where some of the gender differences come in.
Well, the way that the gender differences are, sometimes those differences create advantages for the men or for the women, and sometimes they create disadvantages, don't they?
Sure, and that's why the hurdles are at different heights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's understanding where they are helps you figure out how to get over them successfully.
Right. What's an example of a hurdle that's different for a man and a woman?
Networks. Social networks is usually a big one. Men generally have more men in their networks and more men who are connected to financial resources. So once a woman understands that, she can intentionally focus her network in different directions if she chooses.
Here's an interesting thing that I want to talk to Patty about when we come back. Men seem to have better networks.
I know, but
women probably are better networkers. So we're going to talk about that when we come back with Patty Green, Dr. Patty Green with Babson College. Right after these messages, it's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Patty Green. Dr. Patricia Green is the Dean of Undergraduate Studies at Babson College and a very important member of the Diana Project, and this is a group of women, a group of academics, and very smart ladies around the world who are studying how women enter the marketplace, how they start businesses, how they grow their businesses, and you know, Patty, I want to congratulate you on the work that you guys are doing. It's very important for not only for women but for the 21st century world, I think.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, you've heard me say before something I've been saying since the last century. The 21st century is the century of the entrepreneur, and I think that's a global observation for me at least. And I think that women are going to be side by side, fully functioning as business owners, at least equal. And I mean in terms of numbers throughout this whole century, maybe even surpassing men ultimately. And so I think the work that you're doing is important. It helps. It raises the consciousness of women. It lets them know that there are people out there who care about them. And they need that a little bit more than guys do, don't they?
Sometimes, a lot of times women are concerned about, are they being taken seriously in their business efforts?
Right.
I think we're starting to grow past that somewhat in the United States, but there are a lot of countries where we're certainly not.
Well, because the culture is different, and the basic culture is different in all these different countries. I want to come back to the networking thing, though, because I said that I thought you were saying that men had better networks, and because of their, you know, for whatever reason, you've got, I'm sure you've got some reasons why, but aren't women, when I think of networking, I think of women as being better networkers than guys. Guys are more likely to say, I can go it alone, and a woman is more likely to say, you know what, I could use some help on this.
Well, I think you're going down the right path there, Jim, is that it's true that women tend to use their networks really well. We also have data that shows that women are more likely to ask for directions or ask for help.
Or read the instructions.
We finally
right?
have that. We can set that one to rest. That one's true.
But guys, not so much, right?
Not so much. But you know, the one thing I came back with is I would not say the networks are better. I would say they're different, and they're used for different types of things.
Doesn't most men's network give them an advantage over the networks that women have?
If they're going for a certain kind of financing, okay. Yes. But I guess the reason I push back a little bit on better is because networks are for a lot of different things. And there may be other kinds of resources that a woman's network would work
mm-hmm.
better. I just hesitate on the better. They're just different. And if a woman wants to do a different kind of resource, she needs to think about how to get there.
All right. Well, how does she do that?
looking around, talking to people, asking for advice, talking to people who've already gotten that kind of financing, reading the business papers, but basically not being hesitant about cold calling, not to ask for the resource, but to ask for help and learning.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's stick with financing for a little bit, with capitalizing our businesses. How is that part of women business ownership improving? It's got to be over. I know it is improving over where it was, say, 20 years ago. But how's it doing now? Are they still making progress?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you look at the Center for Women's Business Research reports, they consistently show that not only are the number of businesses growing, but the number of women-owned businesses that are growing faster than businesses in general continues to grow. You look at programs like Springboard, the Springboard Enterprise Program, that really helped raise the visibility of women who were seeking venture capital and raised, you know, just tons and tons of money in order to advance those women.
Right. Well, and you know, as you may know, I've been involved in the for the last eight consecutive Small Business Weeks with the SBA, and I continue to see the women represented more and more as the person, the small business person that their states chose as the number one small business person in their states.
Now, that's interesting.
Yeah. I've interviewed these people for eight consecutive years now, and more, I'm going to say that over the last 8 years that more of the people that I've interviewed have been women than men.
That's a really interesting trend, Jim. I'm interested in looking at those numbers.
Well, this is just my experience, and uh-huh. And the thing is, it's, you know, some people might say, well, it's politically correct now for the federal government to choose a woman, but I'm not talking about what the federal government, the SBA chose. I'm talking about what the individual states, who the individual states chose, all 50 plus states and territories, and the District of Columbia, who they chose. And those people came up through the ranks from a lot of different places, from chambers of commerce, mm-hmm. from municipalities. They didn't just come from the SBA or the Small Business Development Centers.
No, I think that's very interesting. It almost goes back to the days when people looked at businesses that were owned 50-50 and assumed that they had to be more led by the husband or the
right.
male partner.
Right.
Yeah, and that's not true anymore either.
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, I know many, many relationships, business relationships, where the couples own the business, but the president and the lead operative in that company is the wife.
Absolutely.
And the husband is, you know, he's in the supporting cast. Stand mm-hmm. by. Quick break. We're going to be right back with our good friend, Dr. Patricia Green. She's with Babson College. When we come back, we're going to get her to tell us a little bit about Babson College. It's 10 till. Stay with us.
Her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn her music.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Patricia Green. Patty is with the Babson College. She's one of the key people there. She helps run that operation up there. And, Patty, thank you for all you do for the marketplace by growing all those young entrepreneurs up there.
Well, thanks, Jim. That's the really exciting part.
I know it is. Seeing the lights come on in their eyes, I can imagine. Tell us a little bit about Babson.
Well, we're having a big day today. Today we're having our second group of Tulane students come over and take a look. We've got about 37 that are talking about possibly becoming part of the Babson community just temporarily until Tulane
right.
gets back on their feet.
Right. What a terrible thing that was for that fine institution, and for all those folks out there. Good for you guys for taking some of those young men and women in. Patty, what if someone wanted to find out more about Babson, how would they do that?
our website, as I like the way you say it, www.babson.edu, can find out about our undergrad program, our graduate programs, both part-time and full-time, and our executive education programs as well.
And, of course, it's in Massachusetts.
It is, just outside of Boston in Wellesley, Massachusetts.
Great place. Patty, what are some other things that you've learned about women in the marketplace? Some other challenges that they have. Maybe that, you know, there are ladies out there right now, and what would you say would be an example of some of the hurdles that they're running into that they think that's got them a little bit frustrated, and what could we do about those?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing, Jim, and this is one of my soapboxes lately, is that an awful lot of our training programs target the startup stage, and they don't go far enough about teaching about growth.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that a woman chooses not to grow her company, but we need to give her enough of the knowledge resources that she can make that choice.
Most of them that I meet want to grow their businesses.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm not saying I haven't met any women who don't want to grow their business, but I don't remember them.
Well, you know, it's a big step to take that first employee, to accept the responsibility for somebody else's paycheck, and there are some people who would choose not to do that. Once you make the commitment to the first person, the next couple get a whole lot easier.
Well, the thing that I worry about is not, I don't worry about it if they don't want to grow. That's their business. That's what's great about being a small business.
Exactly.
Is you can stay the size that you want to. What I don't want to see happen is for them not to grow because they say, you know what, it almost killed me to get to this level. I don't want to go to the next level if it's going to be that hard. And if there's anything in there that was hard for them because they're a woman, not because it just is hard for everybody, then I think we need to fix that.
Well, I think you're right. And I think raising visibility about the questions is a huge thing. Some people just didn't think about it being different. And, of course, there's still always the double role type of thing, too, where women still are responsible for a lot more of the home life. So that's always a challenge as well.
Well, and that's some of that is imposed upon them by the other members of the family. But I also know that it's also the nature of women to want to do those things. They're some of that is self-imposed, I guess, is what I'm saying. And that's what we love about women, us guys.
Well, I guess some of it might. I don't know too many people that love doing the wash, although I do know a few people. But, you know, it's actually there is help we can do there as far as analyzing what they really choose to do, how to do it, when you can use other help to do things as well.
Right.
So some of it's organizational, but some of it is your life.
Well, I actually know of cases where it's hard for women to get used to turning loose of things that they've always done. You know, what I think women have to have a harder time at is delegating on both of those levels, on the home front and on the work front. Whereas guys, we're a lot easier. We delegate the home front stuff a lot easier, I think.
I would certainly agree with that.
I have a friend, a lady, Dr. Cherie Carter Scott. You probably know Cherie, and she came on the show one time, and I don't know why she was so frustrated, but she said, "Guys are the best at getting their needs met."
No, I agree. I remember the first time ever I came home. It was my first day at work at University of Missouri, Kansas City, and I walked in, and my family had cleaned everything up, cooked dinner, had it on the table, and I thought, I could get used to this.
Right, right.
But
then they said, don't get used to it then, though, right?
Actually, they've been pretty good about letting me get used to it.
Oh, good. Patty, give us the website at Babson one more time, please.
www.babson.edu.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for all that you do for all entrepreneurs, not just for women, but especially for the Diana Project. Thank you for that. By the way, does the Diana Project have a website?
Actually, we're on a Swedish website,
all right,
which is www.esbri.se.
ESBRI.SE. Thank you, Patty Green, for that. And we'll
it's
see you next time. Dr.
Thank
Patricia
you.
Green, ladies and gentlemen, with Babson College. She'll be back. I will be, too, in the next hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.